Psalm 141, verse 2. Psalm 141, verse 2. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. We started yesterday looking at prayer and how we have a picture of prayer in the incense. And there were two distinct things we were looking at. Number one was the altar of incense itself, and then we're going to look at the incense. So the altar and the incense, two different things. And we looked at the altar and the way it was constructed. It was made of shittim wood or acacia wood, which speaks of the twisted, gnarled, thorny, Adamic nature. Wood speaks of humanity and how God would take that twisted, gnarled, thorny Adamic nature, and he would cover it over with gold, and then he made it a certain specific dimension. When you added it all up, came up to the number 8. 8 speaks of new beginnings. He's making a new creation, man, out of us. He put gold all around it. Gold speaks of divine nature. Horns speak of power, divine sovereign power. And basically, that was a picture of who we are to be as the altar that then offers the incense. Today we're going to look at the incense itself, which would equate to the actual prayer that we're praying. So do you see the difference between the altar and the incense? You can have the best incense in the world, but if you don't have the right altar, it's not going to go. You can have the best altar, but if you offer strange fire, strange incense on that altar, you're not going to get the right results. So that's why it's important to look at both. So, let's look at the incense itself. Exodus chapter 30 and verse 7. And Aaron shall burn thereon sweet incense every morning when he dresses the lamps. He shall burn incense upon it. Verse 8. And when Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, in the evening time, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. A perpetual incense. Doesn't the New Testament say, pray at all times? Pray at all. Now, keep in mind, if depending on your concept of prayer, it will make it impossible for you to pray at all times. If your concept of prayer is that thing that we do when we kneel down, we fold our hands and we say, now I lay me down to sleep, blah, 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 blah. You know, if that's your concept of prayer, it's going to be impossible. Or if your concept of prayer is that thing where you're... We got to shift our mentality to where prayer is something that is just... It's living and breathing, and everything we do is prayer unto Him. Now, I believe there's a place for petition. There's a place for all those different intercession, the different kinds of prayer. But prayer is really to be that perpetual incense. In other words, prayer is simply being tapped in to His heart. Tapped into Him. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Jesus didn't always go off to a solitary place to pray, but He was in constant communication, and that doesn't mean that God has to be talking in your ears at all times. You know, I've met some people that God talks to them 24 hours a day, and they're generally a little bit strange, you know. So that doesn't mean that it has to be happening, you know, like every second, every moment of every day. I cannot honestly say I hear Him at all times, you know. But I hear Him sometimes. And when I do hear Him, I'm like, yes, yes. So, let's look at this prayer. It's to be a perpetual incense. Exodus chapter 30, verse 9 says, "You shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall you pour drink offering." What's the burnt sacrifice, meat offering, drink offering? What are those things all about? They were all sin offerings, weren't they? Yeah, they were all sin offerings. Can I give you just a little secret to having a good, vital prayer life? Get over yourself and your sinfulness. Just get over it. I want you to imagine for a second. Imagine for just a second. It's a husband and a wife, spouse type relationship. And every time I want to have some communication with my lovely spouse, the first thing I do is I walk up and I say, "Oh, honey, you know, I'm just such a wretch. I don't ever do anything right, and I'm just this sinful, rotten, you know, you know." What a way to start off a conversation. What's it going to do?
Before you start.
Yeah. It's over before you start. It's like, "Well, so? I knew that. What'd you have to bring it up for?" We're trying to get past that, aren't we? I know there's some spouses around that say, "Yes, and by the way, you forgot this, this, and this." But we won't even go there. We won't even go there. So. No burnt sacrifice, no meat offering, no drink offering. Get over yourself and your inadequacies. Do not worship at the altar of your inadequacies. It doesn't always have to be about you and how you're falling short. Good grief. Let's move on, man.
But you don't understand. I'm such a wretch.
I know it. Big deal. Move on. Okay, I'm going to look at the prayer itself. Keep your finger in Exodus chapter 30 and go to 2 Corinthians 2:15. 2 Corinthians 2:15, "For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish." Verse 16, "To the one we are the savor of death unto death, to the other the savor of life unto life." We're going to smell like something. We're going to smell like something. It's either going to be death unto death or it's going to be life unto life. And it doesn't necessarily depend on you. It depends on the nose that's smelling you. Now, when God smells us, what do you think He smells? Life unto life. Why? Because He isn't smelling us. He's smelling the only sacrifice that's acceptable. You think you're an acceptable sacrifice? Who do you think you're kidding, man? But Doug, I read in the New Testament, it says, "I'm a holy priesthood to offer up sacrifices that are acceptable unto God." So if I do enough, if I work hard enough, and if I do enough for God, you are barking up the wrong sacrifice tree, man. The only sacrifice that's acceptable to Him is His Son. The only thing that pleases God is God. The only sacrifice that's acceptable is the sacrifice of His Son. And if you think you can top that, then you got issues, man. We need to work on you, man. So, life unto life is really what God smells when He smells us. Exodus chapter 30, verse 34. "The Lord said unto Moses, Take unto thee sweet spices, stacked onycha, galbanum, sweet spices with pure frankincense. Of each there shall be a like weight." Okay, we're going to look at these ingredients for just a second here. First of all, he says, "Take unto the sweet spices." Sweet spices. You know, there's an old saying, you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar. Well, it's kind of that way with God. If I'm one of these angry people that always going to God trying to get Him to do something because He's not measuring up to our standards, you know, it's not a good approach. If I'm one of these people that's always honed in on my failure, my inadequacy, or honed in, oh God, it's so awful in the world and you got to do something about it. If I'm always bringing to Him all the negative crap, you're going to catch more flies with honey than, let's bring unto Him sweet spices. Let's bring unto Him just an offering of Lord, I'm just so in love with You. I enjoy You. I mean, I not only love You, I like You. I like being around You. You're the best. You know, whatever vernacular, if you like to get all theological, oh, I beseech Thee, O Father, for Thou art great and merciful and gave. If that's your vernacular, that's okay too. But let's bring unto Him something that's sweet. Now, there's a place to get, you know, let your hair down with God, and if you're frustrated, let Him know about it. But let's bring unto Him sweet spices. Sweet spices. You know what? I think He's really just looking for a friend that He can just... Wouldn't you like to have somebody that you could just be yourself with and not have to be on, and just enjoy them without any expectations that they have of you or by. I think that maybe that's what God wants. I don't know. Let's bring unto Him sweet spices. Now the first thing is stacked. This stacked, the word in the Hebrew is natas. It means a drop. Specifically, it's an aromatic gum. It's from the Hebrew word natas. Natas, it means to drop, to distill. Oh, to distill. To distill. So what's this first ingredient in prayer? It means to distill. Anybody, y'all know what the distilling process is? Yeah, I now live in North Carolina, and my next door neighbor, who's now part of our church, grew up in the hills of Tennessee, and he has duly informed me about the distilling process, and not distilled water like you would buy at Walmart or he has informed me of this distilling process of back up in the mountains in Tennessee, how they take a certain substances and mix them together, and they put them in a big old pot, and then they put some fire to this pot, you know, and then they got something rigmarole, some apparatus on the top that kind of, so when the water or whatever's in there, the corn and I don't know what all they make, you know, moonshine out. I'm not real sure, but it starts to boil, and as the vapors go up, then there's this little another apparatus that kind of takes it through another doohickey, and these are all the technical terms that he uses. But at any rate, you end up with what? A little drip, another little drip, and what's coming out is really the essence of all this big stuff that was in the pot, right? So what's coming out in a distilled form is the essence. Now, do you understand? There's a whole lot of stuff. There's a big pot of stuff to be prayed about. There's a big pot of stuff. I mean, you could pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and never get everything prayed about. Maybe, just maybe, something needs to be distilled Because, see, I'm in my pot of what needs to be prayed about. There might be some stuff that maybe God's just already taken care of. Maybe there's some stuff that I don't really know how to pray about it, and He doesn't expect me to pray about it because He wants me to pray about this one specific thing. Maybe there needs to be a distilling. What a still does is it purifies that thing. And what comes out the other end is a purified form of all this whole bunch of other stuff. So maybe my prayers... See, that's why I'm a strong believer in doing that thing we did the other... Remember what we did the other morning? We got quiet before God. Now, don't get me wrong. There is still a place for the old time Pentecostal praying tongues at the top of your lungs, you know, as long as you can. I like that kind of stuff too. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. However, there's a place to get still before, still, there's that word, get still, be still. I never thought of that. I'm going to sit down, I'm going to become a still for God. To distill His purpose and His plan. He says, be a still and know that I'm God. Oh, that's... I have never put that together. Sorry, I'm just getting a little excited here. So get still and just focus on Him. Get my total focus, because that's really what a still does, is it takes all this big bunch of stuff and it focuses, doesn't it? It focuses. First of all, the heat's applied. You know, you got to have heat in your life before you really learn how to pray, don't you? Long as everything's going easy greasy, you got to have a little heat added to the mix of your life in order to really learn how to pray. Because then, when heat's added, stuff comes to the surface, doesn't it? and see, you get all that, get that focused, and I listen for His voice, and then it takes out all of the impurities that I would put in it. Well, okay, Lord, here's the problem, and you know, you really need to do this, this, and this about the problem. And see, it'll distill all of that kind of silly nonsense out of there, because God's already got it figured out. All I got to do is tap into what He has already decreed. Join my voice with that decree. See, this is the confidence we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will, we know that we have that which we ask of Him. But we're always asking stuff that we don't know if it's will or not. If it's His will. So we got the escape clause. If it be Thy will, Lord. You know, we always tack that. If it is Your will. Well, why don't you find out if it's His will to begin with? Wouldn't that be a whole lot smarter? Quit wasting His time and yours. To distill. The word stacked, nataf, in the Hebrew, it means to drop. To distill. To prophesy. To prophesy. Oh, how about that? That's what this word means. To prophesy. But see, it's got to be distilled before you prophesy it. Because if you're just prophesying stuff you want, it's going to fall to the ground. And the worst thing that could happen is if He actually gives you what you want. Because that's really going to screw everything up. So we get His distilled purpose, plan, and will, and then we don't just say, well, Lord, I think this is what You're saying, and if it be Thy will. No! You get a clear word and you prophesy it!
Amen.
See, this is a place for strong declaration. Declaring what He has shown.
Amen.
Distill it. Let it be distilled. Let us be it's really us that's being distilled. See, His purpose and plan, it's already pure. It's just getting me distilled so that I can join with that which is already purified, His purpose and His plan, okay? And then prophesy. And when I say prophesy, I'm not talking about that thing that's real prevalent in the church today, personal prophecy. There's a place for personal prophecy. There's nothing wrong with it. But you know what? we got to shift our thinking to where we are more concerned with prophesying and speaking forth His purpose, His plan, His will, than, I went to church and I didn't get a word today. Oh, did you get the flyer and the email? The prophet's coming today. I've got to go get me a word. I'm going to get a word. You know what? You are a word. I'd rather you understood that you are a word than give you a word. You are a word out of the mouth of God. You are a living, walking, breathing prophecy. Do you need a word? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe we just need to grow up and understand that I am a word and I have a word, rather than always wanting to get a word. You okay with that? I know that's going to put a whole lot of prophets out of business, but that's okay. Let them find something else to do. I see houses. I see cars. I see... Sorry. I'm just... I'll get off of my soapbox. Stacked. It's the first ingredient. Ooh, I gotta hurry, because we'll never get through this. Anika. Anika. It's the next ingredient. Anika, the word in the Hebrew is Shekeleth. Shekeleth. I like that, Shekeleth. So at any rate, it's the idea of peeling off by concussion of sound. Peeling off by concussion of sound. It's from the Hebrew word shakal, which means to roar. To roar as a lion. Amos chapter 3, verse 7 says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants, the prophets. Verse 8, the lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? Shekel, Shekeleth, Shekel. It means to roar, to roar. See, this idea of a peeling off by concussion of sound, I keep going back to that idea, the concept of the shattering of the glass. Remember I talked about last time we went to breakfast with Pete and he sang to the glass and the glass broke. It's this same idea of resonance. Same idea of resonance. In fact, do we have a glass? Let's see if he'll do it now. I'm just kidding. I'm messing with him. So,
what's the resonance of repentance?
Okay, I forgive you, number. I thought that I was kidding. It's this idea of resonance, a peeling off by concussion of sound. As, you know, the voice of God is going forth. His purpose, His plan is all around. God has spoken. His purpose. And what we do is we join our voice with His voice, and it raises the amplitude, if you will. And that's the mental picture I get is a raising of the amplitude of the sound waves, which causes stuff to fall off. Okay, there's a lot of stuff that needs to fall off. There's a lot of stuff that needs to fall off of some people you know. Right? Now, rather than you... Next time you're around your buddies, oh yeah, so and so, I saw them, and they are just such a mess. I don't know if they're ever going to get their life together. And now you won't believe what they're into now. Now, this is a prayer request, it's not gossip. But you know what they're into now. You know, we don't do that. You know, so maybe instead of doing that thing, we need to be speaking God's purpose, speaking His a declaration of their destiny over them. Now, I'm not saying you go up to them in the mall and you begin, thus saith the Lord, you don't do weird stuff like that, okay? I mean, if you do, whatever, but don't say, I told you to do it. I'm talking about in your prayer time, you begin to declare over that person God's purpose, God's plan, God's destiny for them. Take a particular situation that you have, maybe in the workplace. Instead of whining and complaining about, oh, I just don't know about this. you know, and then there's so-and-so and this situation, and my boss,
oh, you would not believe my boss, you know.
Maybe, just maybe, we need to begin to declare God's righteousness over that situation, God's purpose over that situation. Maybe, just maybe, I'm going to prophesy to Doug Fortune right now. Maybe, just maybe, when I think of a particular teenager that is related to me, instead of complaining, maybe I need to begin to prophesy. Maybe I need to join my voice with God's declaration over this particular teenager, that, and I got to quit looking at the way things are and see the end from the beginning. Oh, don't you hate it when you're talking about something and suddenly you realize that you are the one who needs to hear it more than anybody else? I hate that. Ugh. Anika, Shekeleth. That's it, Shekeleth. I like that word, Shekeleth. Okay, the lion hath roared. Hebrews 12, verse 25. Let's look here. Hebrews 12. Verse 25, what's it say? So see to it that you do not reject him or refuse him who is speaking to you. For if they did not escape when they refused to listen to him who warned... Who's got this in like the King James or something? This amplified is too many words. Who's got the King James or a reasonable... facsimile. Ah, Hebrews 12:25. Here we go. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he's promising, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, and those things which cannot be shaken may remain. That's what our prayer needs to be doing. It needs to be a voice from heaven that's shaking stuff up, and all that's not of God needs to be shaken off. A peeling off by a concussion of sound. Does that make sense? Are you with me? Okay. Let's go to the next one. Galbanum. Galbanum. The word in the Hebrew is kelbina. It's an odorous gum. Let me look here. Galbana. It means to be fat. To be fat. Hence the richest or the choice part, the best part. Here's what Brown Driver Briggs says about that Hebrew word. It means choices, the best part, the abundance. The choices, the best part, the abundance. Fatness, richest, the choice part. What is the choice part? What do you think the choice part for God is in our prayer? Probably just the fellowship, the joining of our who we are with Him and His purpose. Let's give Him the choicest part. Let's even give Him the choicest part of our day, of our lives, you know, the best part of who we are. And the word also means to be fat. To be fat. Did you know? Now this came out in one of our discussions there at the in our fellowship. One of the ladies in our fellowship she was in some kind of anatomy class or something. But do you realize around your heart there is this there's kind of a belt around it, which is a layer of fat. It's a layer of fat, and that layer of fat is really, really important, because that's basically what holds everything all together. If it wasn't for that layer of fat, your heart wouldn't do what it's supposed to do, and it'd more or less just kind of come apart. So really, and when I heard that, it was like, yes, what a beautiful picture of the choicest part. It's the thing that holds everything together. Okay? The choicest part, the best part. Let's get on to frankincense here. Frankincense, the word libonah, it means the heart. The heart. The word lebe, it's used widely for the feelings, the will, even the intellect. The heart. So I think that's just pretty fascinating. Keep in mind, these are just word definitions of these different things, that the different ingredients that go into this incense. But what a beautiful picture it paints for us of prayer. The heart. How many of us pray from our head? How much better to pray from the heart? That's why, I mean, maybe you all think you've progressed far beyond this, but I pray in tongues all the time, man. I pray in the Spirit all the time. I mean, I'll be just going about my day, and maybe it's under my breath, maybe it's quietly, maybe it's not so quietly, but I pray in tongues a lot. Why? Because it's a good thing to do. He that prays in an unknown tongue edifies himself, and the spirit with groanings that cannot be uttered. I think it's a good thing to do. Yeah, but we learned that in Pentecost. Gosh, I got my prayer language 30 years ago. Am I still supposed to use it? I thought I had matured to the point where I didn't. Well, maybe you think you've arrived, but I'm not quite there yet. So I pray in tongues. And when I'm praying in tongues, it bypasses this whole brain. Because this old brain tries to figure things out and tell God what to do. So I can pray from my heart. I can pray in an unknown tongue. And I know that the Holy Spirit is praying through me. Yeah. I am a big advocate of praying in tongues a lot. Now, I do not recommend walking through Walmart praying in tongues at the top of your lungs. Not a good idea, because the men with the little coat, you know, the nice white coat with the long sleeves that they can tie in the back, they're going to come get you and take you to a nice safe place, or you want to hurt yourself. So, you know, use your sense there, but I pray in tongues a lot. I pray in tongues a lot. So here's what it says about the frankincense. And thou shalt make it a perfume. In Exodus 30:35. Thou shalt make it a perfume, confection after the art of the apothecary. You know what an apothecary is? That's a person who takes all this stuff and he dumps it in a little. I've got a mortar and a pestle at home that I took into church and used to illustrate. An apothecary takes all these different ingredients, dumps them into this mortar and pestle, which is basically a bowl with a thing. You got a mortar and a pestle? Oh my goodness. Well, this is cool. Yay. Okay. So the apothecary right here. Do you know what this is?
And you know what this is?
What is it, frankincense?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's frankincense. Oh, how cool. This is awesome. So he takes the frankincense and all the other stuff. By the way, do you know what this is? This is the local church. And this is what God does. He puts you in here and he goes... and he grinds you. And he grinds you. And he takes a look and he says, not there yet. And so he grinds you a little more. And about the time you're finally getting used to all those people that he stuck you in here with, then he's going to bring in some others. And then he's going to grind you some more. This is the local church, the mortar and the pestle right here. There's a lot of folks floating around in the kingdom that have kind of grasped onto some concepts, but they don't they never get anywhere because they don't allow God to grind them. You see that? Oh yeah. You're not going to light me on fire, are you?
You know,
no, that was your job.
Before I knew what this was, it was delivered to our altar.
Yeah.
Many years ago, and the Lord had me with a message. I didn't know what was what.
Yeah.
When this was delivered about 4 months later, this came from the island of Trinidad, I believe, and I finally got to put some of that in there.
Yeah.
And the Lord said to, I was alone with my mother in my office, and the Lord said, now break this, because I had no concept of what was in the package.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know. It was just crystals, as far as I was concerned, or rocks.
Yeah.
When this came, I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he says, squish it. Just. Then I put olive oil on my mother's hand, like I just did with you.
Yeah.
And then I put some of this on there, and she went out. She went out like a light bulb. And I was accused of witchcraft. Because I did this to the rest of the intercessors, and the intercessors got knocked out, the Lord said, we'll send a little bit more of pressure so that you can survive. And so
how
that's
funny.
As pure as you can get frankincense.
Yeah. Since we've been talking about frankincense at church, I started burning some down. One of the ladies at church, every time I light this stuff up, she goes, she starts coughing and sneezing. So. But at any rate, so here we go. Exodus 30:36, and thou shalt beat some of it very small, and put of it before the testimony in the tabernacle of the congregation, where I will meet with thee, and it shall be unto you most holy. So what did it say? Beat it very small, and it shall be most holy. So what's most holy? The stuff that's beaten really small. Anybody want to be holy? Anybody want to be really holy? Let him stick you in with a whole bunch of other spices, and let him beat you small, and that's how. Okay. Let's talk about this frankincense for a little bit. It's a resin, and that's basically what this stuff is. This is the frankincense. Let's see. What was it? Give me just a second. I can tell you where it's from and everything. Let's say from the tree of the genus Boswellia, grows on the limestone rocks of South Arabia and Somaliland, which would be northern Africa. Okay. Now some of these trees grow to a considerable height, and they send down their roots to extraordinary depths. Isn't that interesting? Growing to considerable heights, and the way you grow to considerable height is by putting down, you know, extraordinary depths in the roots. Now, the way they obtain the gum is by, what do they do? They make an incision on the bark of the tree. They make a wound.
Yes.
They make a wound in the bark of the tree, and then they're kind of yellowish, semi-transparent. And when it comes out, a lot of the times, as it comes out, it's kind of a drop shape, kind of in the shape of a tear, you know? So, it has kind of a nauseous taste, though. So, at any rate. And it's a pretty strong smell. It's a pretty strong fragrance. Now, let's talk about this for just a second here. Leviticus 16:13, it says, "He shall put the incense upon the fire before Jehovah." Now keep in mind, the fire that was on the altar, where did it come from? The fire on the golden altar of incense, actually the coals came from off of the altar, the brazen altar, which is out in the outer court. What was that fire? Where did that fire come from? Remember, you read about the dedication of the temple and all that kind of stuff. Who started that fire? God started that fire. So the fire came down, consumed the sacrifice. God started that fire. They keep those coals burning with sacrifices of the animals. And then they take the coals from off of the altar, the brazen altar that's in the outer court. Speaking of the sacrifice, that's God's sacrifice. He started the fire. He sacrificed His own Son. God started this thing, all right? It's not your fire. It's not my fire. It's God's fire that is to burn upon the golden altar of incense. So with tongs, they take the coals from off of that altar, bring it into the other altar. Then they put the frankincense, beaten small, and everything on top of these burning coals, and it creates a cloud. Okay, it creates a cloud, and it kind of goes up, and it filters into the Holy of Holies. And for us who are moving into the third day tabernacles, kingdom, most holy place type of ministry, that golden altar of incense is not just in the holy place. That we're a people of the Day of Atonement, are we not? So that golden altar is right there in the Holy of Holies with us. Because that's where they took, on the Day of Atonement, they took that golden altar of incense into the Holy of Holies. So for us, it's a permanent thing there. Are you with me? It created a cloud, and then God inhabited the cloud. Whew! We are compassed about with what? A great cloud of witnesses. Jesus was what? He was received into a cloud. He's coming back in a cloud. Maybe that cloud He's coming back in is a people, who a fragrant people before God, who are a cloud in which He can inhabit. Are you okay with that? Okay. Let's keep going here. Incense is symbolic of the name of God. Malachi 1:11 says, "For from the rising of the sun, even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts." Psalm 141, verse 2, we've been looking at that. "Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense." Revelation 5:8, "Golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." So the incense is symbolic of the name of God, and it's symbolic of prayer. What about the name of God? Let's talk about that. What do I mean by the name of God? Name equates to nature. Name equates to nature. My children have my last name. They also have my nature. Why? Because they're of the same DNA that I am. Name equates to nature. So that means when you ask anything in His name, that doesn't mean that you just say your little prayer, whatever silly thing it is, and then tack on the end of it, "in Jesus' name." No. That means anything you ask in His nature... In His nature. So it's symbolic of the name, the nature of God. Look here. I'm skipping some stuff. There's some restrictions on the use of frankincense. Leviticus 5:11 says, "Neither shall he put any frankincense thereon, for it is a sin offering." How about Numbers 5:15? "He shall pour no oil upon it, nor put frankincense thereon, for it is a meal offering of jealousy, a meal offering of memorial, bringing iniquity to remembrance." This offering is an offering, a memorial offering, bringing iniquity to remembrance. But he says, you ain't going to put any frankincense in this stuff. See, the frankincense was not to be used in any of the offerings that had anything to do with sin or the remembrance of sin. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. See, I grew up, well, not grew up, I mean, I grew up Catholic, but then after I got saved, when I came to the Lord and started to, I kind of cut my teeth in the whole mentality that, oh, the greatest prayers were the prayers where I grovel before God and tell Him what a worm I am, and you know, the whole Isaiah 6, woe is me, for I have undone of a man of unclean lips, blah, 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 you know, all that. I mean, in fact, that was my favorite scripture for a long time. I could just put myself right in the middle of that, but I never read the rest of it. Remember what happened? Well, the angel comes along and says, man, we got to do something about that potty mouth of yours. Got to get you to quit talking so bad. So we're going to take some coals from off the altar and go touch your lips and get you to get out of this whole thing. Because the angel did not join in his pity party at all, did he? He said, listen, there's stuff to be done. There's stuff to be done. And the only way you're going to do it, first we've got to clean up your lips and get you to talking right, get you out of that rotten mentality so that you can actually go do something and be sent. The frankincense is not to be used with anything that has to do with a sin offering or that has to do with the remembrance of sin. Why? Because Jesus took care of your sin and He took care of your sin nature. Get over it. Get over yourself. Put on some frankincense. Okay. See, we've got to move beyond the brazen altar. That's where sin is dealt with, and that was dealt with in Christ. And, you know, we all have to go through a brazen altar experience. You know, like I said before, it's finished in Christ, but it still has to be appropriated in us. In other words, the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, but Jesus still had to go to the cross, okay? And it's the same with you and I. Yes, it's a finished work in Christ, but it still has to be appropriated in my life. So yes, there's a brazen altar for me where I climb on it and all of my stuff is burnt up. There's a brazen laver where I'm washed up and washed with the water of the Word. I mean, it's all accomplished in Christ, but yet it still has to be appropriated and manifested in our life. All right? Now then, let's go to... Now this is interesting. See, we've got to move to the golden altar of incense, where the emphasis is not really on sacrifice like the other altar, but the emphasis is on becoming an atmosphere for the presence of the Lord to dwell. Because that's really what that golden altar of incense did. It created a cloud in which God would come and dwell. That's what He said. And see, our purpose is really to create an atmosphere, and that's kind of what I talked about the other morning before we did our prayer exercise. Just being present to His presence, creating an atmosphere for Him to come and dwell. In other words, the old adage, build it and they will come. Okay? Build it, build the right atmosphere, and He will come and dwell. I mean, yes, He's with us at all times. His omnipresence is always here. But I'm talking about His manifested presence, which is a different thing. Okay? Let's look. Now, frankincense, Leviticus 24:5-7, thou shalt take fine flour, bake 12 cakes thereof. This is the showbread in the tabernacle. It says, and thou shalt set them in two rows, six on a row, upon the pure table before Jehovah. Thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be to the bread for a memorial. Now, frankincense was used on the showbread, on the table of showbread, And I don't know, does anybody have any revelation on that? Anybody got something on that? I've always kind of wondered why they sprinkled frankincense, because frankincense is nasty tasting stuff. Why would you put it on the showbread? I don't know. Anybody got any ideas? Okay, this is your assignment. Between now and the next time I come back, I want you to have studied this out. Find out what's the significance of frankincense on the showbread. Okay?
I thought this was beside.
Oh, beside?
Yes. This is the Amplified. It says beside.
Ooh.
Come again now? My Bible says beside.
Beside the showbread.
Beside the showbread. Yeah. You should put pure frankincense in a bowl of stone beside each roll, that it may be with the bread as a memorial portion.
Well, that would certainly make a whole lot more sense.
Yeah.
Having it beside, because it's, I mean, this...
Leviticus 24 is in verse 7.
Yeah, okay. Well, that makes a whole lot more sense. Because I'm thinking this frankincense is kind of a nauseous type of, you know.
In verse 9, it says for Aaron and his sons to just eat the bread.
Okay. Well, that makes better sense then. Oh. There you go. You're off the hook. Saved by... Gail saves the day. Okay. All right. Okay, so the incense, it's also symbolic. It's symbolic of the name of God. We talked about that, symbolic of prayer. Revelation 2:17, it says we've been given a new name. A new name. Now, family name denotes bloodline and heritage, doesn't it? A family name denotes bloodline and heritage. And too many of us are too tapped into our natural bloodline and our natural heritage. Now, there's nothing wrong with, you know, knowing what your natural thing is. But don't be limited by that. Don't be limited by your natural heritage and your natural bloodline, because you're now of the heritage of the King of Kings. You're the bloodline of the King of Kings, and it's His blood that flows through our veins. Remember what Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, and really you are what you eat, aren't you? Yeah. So unless you eat my blood, and He said, Father, that they may be one. See, I believe the Catholics are, they kind of got onto something. They just got off a little bit on the whole transubstantiation thing, you know, with the bread and the wine. It's not necessarily the bread and the wine that becomes the body and the blood of Jesus. I believe it's us. We become the body. The more that we are in communion with Him, the more that we're being one with Him, we become the body. We become the blood of Christ, and it's His blood that flows through our veins. He said, Father, that they may be one, even as we are one. And I'm kind of warming up to the idea of what Wade Taylor does with the whole bread and the wine thing. I know I'm on a rabbit trail, but that's okay. The whole bread and the wine, he says, Lord, I see bread. My eyes are telling me that this is bread, but You said this is my body. Now, do I choose to believe what my eyes see, or do I choose to believe what You said? See, Wade says it doesn't need to be transubstantiated, that Jesus said that's what it is, so that's what it is. And I kind of like that idea too. He says, this is my... And see, I'll take it even a step further and say, this is my... body, right here. Now, I see a bunch of people with issues. But I'm not. Am I going to choose to believe what I see with my eyes, or am I going to believe what You said, that, yes, this is my body, wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay? For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. And he says, Lord, I choose to believe what You said. This is my body, and I receive Your body. You said, unless You eat my flesh and drink my blood. And then He does the same thing with the cup. He says, Lord, I see juice. That's what my eyes are telling me, but You said, this is my blood in the new covenant. Okay? So I'm warming up to that idea. But I believe if anything's transubstantiated, it's us. We are His body. We are His blood. And see, this incense, it speaks of the name of God, which speaks of the nature of God, which speaks of the bloodline and the heritage. That's why prayer is so important to what we're doing in the earth, is because it's a constant reminder of who we are. We're co-laborers in the process of bringing His will and His purpose to bear upon the earth. Oh, so that's, I think that's about it. Because we've gone through the different ingredients. He said there's to be a like measure of each. That means a like, everything the same. Then you take it and you grind it all together. And I have at home, I've got a little vial that is when you take all of these spices and you grind them together, a lady gave it to me. It's called the Keteret, I think is what it is. And that's the actual fragrance of all of these things stuck together. And it's a bizarre fragrance. It's not anything you would expect. It doesn't smell at all like just frankincense. When you put all this stuff together, it's like, whoa. It's a different fragrance. Where was I going with that? Like measure, taken and it ground together, and really, can I just make it real short and simple here? I said all of this to say this one thing: pray at all times, just be in communion with Him. And pray. Prayer is important. Corporate prayer. I would encourage you in corporate prayer. In fact, I'd encourage you, if, you know, this is, of course, up to Kim and everything, but maybe make a practice now and then of doing that thing that we did the other morning where you get quiet, you listen, but don't just stop it there. Then come together and then declare what God has shown you. I'm not saying it's a formula for effective prayer or any kind of, but man, it seems to, I don't know, every time we do it, it just, man, it's uplifting. In fact, we did a conference, a whole weekend, a presence encounter, where that's all we did is we worshiped, we got silent, listened for God, wrote down what He told us, got together, declared it, and it was like, man, at the end of the weekend, everybody was just like, wow, we got to do this some more, you know? So, amen. I'm done. I'm going to stop.
Would you lift your hands towards Him? Father, He's given of Himself and He's given of You. The deposit that You have in Him, Father, is truly magnificent, and we're grateful. But don't stop, Lord. There's more to come. This is only the beginning. We're asking that when He returns, Lord, that He will have a deposit from the house of prayer,
yes,
to drop into the hearts of His people,
yes,
so that the intermingling that needs to be done in the body of Christ will continue to go forward,
yes,
until we meet again. For the glory of our Father God, for the magnificent presence of His Son, Jesus Christ, and for the manifestation of the sons of God that He's preparing.
Yes.
In this earth.
Yes.
In this,
yes,
earthen vessel.
Yes. Yes.
In Jesus' name. Yes. Now I want you to put your hands towards your own heart and say, in this earthen vessel,
in this earthen vessel,
there's a Son coming alive.
Yes.
His name is Christ Jesus.
And He's getting stronger.
And more powerful.
Intermingling.
With my brothers and sisters.
I
become one in Him.
And He becomes one in me.
With my Father.
With my Father.
Hallelujah. That's all I got.
Amen.